book of Hosea was written to a backslidden nation of Israel. The nation of Israel is called Ephraim more in the book of Hosea than it is in any other book in the Bible, and that name calls to mind a nation that's in a backslidden condition. Most of you know the main storyline in the book of Hosea. God directs Hosea to marry a woman. They have three children. His wife leaves, going to a life of sin as a harlot. She finally ends up on the slave block, and Hosea buys her back, restores her to being his wife, having never stopped loving her. Now again, if you think of just the story itself, what a wonderful story. I mean, what a wonderful story. And then if you think about the picture that it represents, the love of God for us that story represents, it's just even greater. But Israel was still sinning. And even though God had forgiven and forgiven and forgiven, toward the end of Hosea, he's warning them about the judgment that's coming because of their sin. He warns them that the Assyrians are coming. He's warning them that Babylon was coming. And in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 13, God makes a statement that I want to use as the basis for my message this morning. He said in verse 5, I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. But then he says in verse 6, according to their pasture, so they were filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. I want to speak on the subject this morning. I did know thee. I did know thee. God's saying to Israel, there was a time when I knew you. There was a time when you knew that you needed me. There was a time that you spent much time in prayer begging me just to take care of you. It's when you were in the wilderness, that land of great drought. It was during that time that I was leading you with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and you knew that I needed to lead you, and I did know you then. You were in the wilderness then. I fed you 6 days a week and gave you twice as much on day six so you didn't have to gather it on day seven. I fed you with manna every morning. And you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you needed me, because without me, you wouldn't eat. I knew you in the wilderness, because when you needed water, I had to tell Moses to take his rod and strike the rock, and water came out of that rock, and you had all the water you could drink. You knew you needed me in the wilderness, and I knew you when you were in that wilderness. It was that time where you didn't have an army, and I had to protect you. It was that time where I ensured that your clothes didn't wear out, and your shoes, your shoes not only didn't wear out, but they grew as the feet of your children grew. The shoes grew with them. They never had to replace a pair of shoes in the wilderness, because God took care of everything. And God said, when you were in the wilderness, when you were in that land of great drought, you knew you needed me. You spent much time in prayer. You spent much time on your face before me, asking me for me to be with you, asking for me to take care of you, asking for me to protect you. I didn't know you then. But he says, you got full. Your heart was exalted. You've moved into the promised land. You no longer need me to lead you with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, because you've been assigned land in the promised land and you now have homes. You're settled. You've forgotten about the God that led you through the wilderness. I no longer have to feed you with manna from heaven. You have land and you grow crops and you have food in the cupboard. You no longer have to go out every morning and be reminded that there's a God that provides for you, because you have plenty of store laid up. I no longer have to have somebody strike the rock and bring water, because now you all have wells. And you can drop your bucket into that well and you can draw water anytime you want it. No longer do I have to provide for you in a miraculous way. No longer do I have to take care of your clothes and make your shoes grow, because you got a wardrobe full of clothes and you got a wardrobe full of shoes, and I don't have to work in a miraculous way anymore. And you have a standing army, and they've been trained and they know how to fight. And no longer do you depend on God anymore for protection. He says, you're full. Your hearts have been exalted. You have forgotten me, and I don't know you anymore. I used to. I did know thee, but I don't anymore, because you've forgotten that you've needed me. I want to tell you this morning, there's some folks in our church that today are in the wilderness. They're today down on their knees before God because there's something going on in their life that reminds them every moment of every day that they need God. In some cases, it's because their spouse has left and they're having to face life on their own. In some cases, it's a child that has caused heartache, and they're down on their knees, on their face before God every single day, holding that child up in prayer. For others, it's a financial difficulty that they're going through right now. They're just living from paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes there's a lot of month left over as opposed to being paycheck left over. And they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they cannot take their next breath. They cannot take their next step. They just cannot face tomorrow without help from their God. And they're down on their face before their God. And God says, I know them. I know them, because they know they need me. But I wonder this morning if God might be saying to some here the same thing that he said to Israel. I used to know you. I used to know you when you first got married and you lived in that little two-room apartment and you made tomato soup with ketchup and water and you just didn't have much to get by on. And every day when you first got married, you joined hands and you got down on your knees and you begged me to take care of you. You begged me to provide for you. You begged me for the future. I used to know you. I remember when that first little baby came along and that little baby got sick and you didn't have money to take that little baby to the doctor. So you held that little baby up to me and you prayed for healing. You prayed that I would intervene and heal your little child. I knew you then. I remember when your mom died or when your dad died and you were so brokenhearted and you got down on your knees and you asked me for strength. You asked me for strength to do the things that you knew needed to do and to just get through the next few days, the next few months. You knew that I needed you then, and I knew you then. I knew you when you had that teenager that rebelled, that went out into the world and did things that didn't please you, did things that brought dishonor to your name. And there were nights that you didn't sleep at all. There were nights that you wet your pillow with tears, praying for that child to come back. You knew that you needed me then, and I knew you then. I knew you when you went to the doctor, and the doctor says it's cancer or leukemia or some other disease that's not easily cured. And you came home, and you were hurt, and you were brokenhearted, and you got down on your knees, and you put your hands together and you prayed and then lift your heart toward heaven. And you said, God, I need you. I need you. And God says, I knew you then. But I wonder if God might be saying to some people here this morning, I don't know you anymore. I don't know you anymore. Things have changed. You no longer live in the wilderness. You own your own house. It's almost paid for. Your kids are grown and moved out, and most of them turned out pretty good. Everybody's healthy. There's food in the cabinet and clothes in the closet. 2 cars in the garage. You have central air and a VCR and a Blu-ray and all those other things that I don't even know what they are. But you're at that point in your life where you got everything you could ever want. And I wonder if God says to some of us this morning, your heart's full. You've forgotten me. I don't know you anymore. You see, we live in a time of, for most of us, peace and prosperity. We live in a time where it's easy to sit back and say, hey, I've got it made. I got everything I need. God, you don't have to worry about me anymore because I've got it all. Jesus talked about a man like that in Luke chapter 12. He was a farmer. His crops came in, and he filled up all his barns, and his barns were so full, he said, I got to build bigger barns. So he tore his barns down and built bigger ones and filled all them up. And he was just rejoicing in everything that he had. And he said, soul, take thy ease. Eat, drink, and be merry. And God came to him, and he said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. I want to tell you this morning, I don't care how good things are in your life right now, and you may have temporarily forgotten this, but you need God. You need God. Every time your heart beats, you need to thank God that it beats. Every time your lungs take in air, you need to thank God that they're still working. Every bite of food that we take, we need to thank God. Every dollar we received, we need to thank God. Everything we have comes from God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father. And some of us need to fall on our knees this morning and we need to say, God, you're right. I'm sorry. And all the way, you blessed me so much that I've forgotten that I need you every moment of every day. God, please don't forget me. Know me again by reminding me that I need you every moment. Now again, there's some people in this room this morning that you know what I'm talking about. You're in the wilderness. You don't take your next breath. You don't take your next step without bathing it in prayer. You know that the rest of the day and tomorrow depends on God that loves you. But for others of us that might have it easy at this time, maybe we need to get down on our knees and say, God, I forgot. I need you. Please don't forget me. Please don't forget me. I wonder if God might be saying to our church this morning the same thing that he said to the nation of Israel. Hey, I used to know you when you met in a home and there were only a few families there. I used to know you when you met at the Masonic Temple and every service you had to put up the chairs and after the service you had to take down the chairs. I used to know you when you purchased this building and you went deep into debt and you were a little bit worried about how you were going to make the payments. I knew you when you didn't have a preacher and you were praying for a preacher. I knew you when you were praying for that first person to be saved in your church and that first person to be baptized. I knew you in that time when you had some church trouble and you fell on your knees and you came to me because you needed me. He said, I knew you in the wilderness. I knew you in that land of great drought because you knew that you needed me. But things have changed. You're no longer in the wilderness. You're an established church now. You got a nice building. You have land for expansion. You got padded pews. And you got songbooks with covers on them. You got air conditioning and a furnace that works and a nursery and a kitchen and a baptistry and a preacher. You don't pray the way you used to because you got everything you think you need. You've forgotten me. I don't know thee anymore. I want to tell you this morning, anytime a church gets to a point where they don't think they need God, they're in trouble. Anytime a church thinks that they've arrived and they don't need God, they're in trouble. And there are churches in this city, there are churches in this state, there are churches in this nation that have gotten big. They had budgets that were being met. They had nice buildings. They had padded pews. They had Sunday school rooms. They had staffs. But they forgot God. And now they're just getting by. Some of them are closing their doors. They're not even meeting anymore. And we as a church, I'm not saying we are at this point. I'm saying I never want us to get to this point. I never want us to get to the point where we think we've arrived. I never want us to get to the point where we take God for granted. I never want us to get to the point where we forget that it is God that has given us everything that we have in this place. I would rather we lose the building and have to go back to Masonic Temple as opposed to God saying, I've forgotten you. I don't know you anymore. You don't beg me for things. You don't ask me for things. You've forgotten that you need me. And I would rather lose everything that we have as opposed to losing a God that knows us, because we spend time down on our knees begging for God to keep his spirit in this place, begging for God to meet with us every time we come. I don't ever want him to say, I did know thee. And then I can't help but wondering if God is saying the same thing to our country, to America, as he said to Israel. He says, I did know thee in the wilderness. When you were fighting for your independence, you had generals that prayed. You had legislators that didn't even start their meetings before they opened it up, and they just didn't say a perfunctory prayer. They begged me to meet with them and give them wisdom. I used to know you when you had teachers in the public schools that read the Bibles and prayed. I knew you then. I knew you in that time of depression when the banks closed, where you walked the streets looking for jobs. I knew you then. I knew you as a nation when you really went to war, to win a war, to fight and win. When you put your husbands and your sons on those planes and those boats and you sent them across the seas to fight for freedom. And you spent, and moms and dads got down on their faces before God to pray for their sons. I knew you then. But God says, I don't know you now. I don't know the America where it's illegal to pray in public schools. I don't know the America where it's illegal to read the Bible in public schools. I don't know the America where it's illegal to have a manger scene at City Hall. I don't know the America that kills the unborn. I don't know the America that has given itself over to alcohol and to drugs and to homosexuality. I don't know the America that locks up preachers and parents because they think they have the right to raise their kids the way God told them to raise them. I don't know the America that wants to take in God we trust off of our money. And it's easy for us as Christians to point our fingers at other people. It's easier for us to point our fingers at those that have led the fight to take prayer out of school and to take in God we trust off our money and to legalize homosexuality and to legalize all the other things. Pretty soon we're going to be a nation that has legalized marijuana. And again, I don't care if I offend you or not. I think it's wrong. I think it's sin. I don't think we should do it as a nation. And I'll preach against that just as much as I preach against homosexuality. God doesn't want that for our nation. I can't help but wonder this morning that he might be saying to us the same thing he said to the nation of Israel. I did know thee. You see, it's not we shouldn't point our fingers at other people. It's not their fault. When we point our fingers, we ought to look in the mirror and point our fingers at ourselves. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Revival comes not when we save the homosexuals and the drug pushers and all the other people that are leading us into sin. Revival will come when God's people remember that there's a God and that we need him. We need him. And we need to fall on our face this morning. And we need to weep and we need to pray and we need to repent for our country. God said, I knew you in the wilderness, but now you're full. And you've forgotten me. I don't know you anymore. And I wonder if we as an individual, if we as a church, if we as a nation need to get on our face this morning and say, God, you're so right. I've forgotten how much I need you. God, please help me to never forget that you're God and that I need you every moment of every day. Look, there may be some here this morning that need God as Savior. You need to come to Jesus Christ this morning. You can't repent and pray for your nation until you repent and pray for yourself and ask Jesus to save you. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us there's a penalty for that sin, what we owe, and that penalty is death. The wages of sin is death, to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. But the Bible says that even when we were yet sinners, God loved us. He sent his Son to die in our place. And because Jesus died on Calvary, he's able to offer, because he paid for our sins, he's able to offer to every person the most wonderful gift, the gift of life, eternal life. I know most of us here this morning are saved. And I know I didn't preach a salvation message, but I believe the Holy Spirit can work every time we come into this place. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I got to believe that there was a still small voice speaking to you when I was speaking about your need for Jesus, about your need to come to him. In just a second, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, today would be a good day to do it. You'll come. If you'll come in just a second, we'll have somebody take the Bible and from the Bible show you how to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for being a God that knows his people. Father, help us never to take you for granted. Help us never to be so full that we forget where the fullness comes from. Help us to never forget that we need you every moment of every day. So I pray you'll speak to our hearts as Christians. You remind us of how much we do need you. And then, Father, I pray that you'd speak to those that might be here that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, help them to see their sin, the penalty for that sin, and help them to come to the only one that could help them, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And Father, if there's just one person here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, just one person that has never received Christ, I pray during this time of invitation they would come. Father, I also pray this morning for those that are in the wilderness. And I know there's some here that are hurting this morning. There's some here that know that they need you every moment, and there's no doubt in their mind. And they spend hours and hours and hours on their knees before you, begging for your help, begging for your protection, begging for your blessing. And so I pray, Father, for them. Help them to see that you love them. Help them to see that you know what's going on, that you'll never leave them or forsake them. Help them to see that you have a plan and there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There is a way, and you're going to make that way. And so I pray, Father, you be with them this morning as well. Bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient to your leading. I ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.